So may the words of Scripture just proclaimed to us turn into very beautiful melodies in each of our hearts.
This week we remembered 9/11. I'm sure all of you have vivid memories of 9/11, as my wife Pat and I do too. One of the lessons we can learn from 9/11 is that people can be driven into, manipulated into doing horrible things. We had these Islamic jihadists who commandeered these planes and wreaked terrible havoc upon us. And we ask ourselves the question, why would these young Islamic jihadists do the things they did? And of course we try to figure out what it's all about, what it means, but we know that somehow, and of course this is not typical of mainstream Islam, it's a fringe group of Islam, just as we have fringe groups in all the various other religions as well that don't speak for the mainstream. But the thing I want to fasten upon is why people can be manipulated into doing things like this. Something clearly has gone awry. And so various theories are given over. I suppose in our own lingo today, we might say that these young warriors, as they thought of themselves, you know, trying to resurrect some form of the greater Islamic empire against the colonizing West, however they tried to understand what they were doing. In our own lingo today, we might say that they were people, young people, by and large young people, and they were somehow victims of a conspiracy theory. What makes people prone to believe conspiracy theories? What makes people, you know, it's like the old thing of what causes the moth to fly into the fire? Why do people do things like this? Something is able to, I mean, they're in a state where they're receptive. Are they afraid, or are they filled with resentment? Are they filled with anger? Are they in some kind of state which makes them somehow vulnerable to whatever is this particular conspiracy theory that is floating around, that is able to manipulate them and so on like that? So my first point then is for us to think about that and to ask ourselves the question, are we in any way susceptible to the same kind of manipulation in our own day, in our own lives? My second point brings me to today's gospel, which is related. You notice how Jesus, when he commonly teaches, he typically falls back upon parables. There's a text, I believe it's in Matthew 16, where Jesus is asked, why do you speak to the people in parables all the time? And his response is to quote the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah says, you know, the people look, but they don't see. Things are told to the people, but they don't hear. Somehow we have to get the people to be able to really see, and somehow we have to get the people to be really able to hear. And the dangerous ones are the ones who think they really see when they don't see. and the ones who think they really hear when they don't hear. That's what Isaiah in chapter 6 of Isaiah is saying, as taken over by Jesus and quoted by him. And that's his explanation, or one of them anyway, for why he teaches in parables. You ever notice that when you hear a parable, it's almost like when you hear a poem. We have to stop, and we have to think. And it's like we, no matter how oftentimes we hear the parable, we're stopped in our tracks and we're not quite sure we're getting it. And we kind of wonder what the parable is trying to say. It sort of like befuddles us and puzzles us and stops us in our tracks, and we have to work at understanding them over and over again. We have to step back. We have to kind of like, if I could put it this way, we have to kind of like get out of our comfort zone and get out of our little boxes, and Jesus is trying to get us to think outside of our boxes and so on, you know. So like, how many times should we forgive somebody, you know? 7 times? Oh no, 70 times 7. You know, what does that mean? And then this crazy Lord who forgives this particular servant of his. Modern day biblical scholars tell us that this one servant who's forgiven, the equivalent today would be, he talks about talents and denarii, and a talent would be about a year's wages. 10,000 talents would be enormous. Probably the equivalent, one biblical scholar was saying, of a $1 billion today. So to be forgiven $1 billion, now that's just off the charts, right? But that's what Jesus is saying in this parable. And we say, that's just not customary. Nobody does that. That's just not normal. See, again, so why is Jesus comparing the kingdom of God to such action? Well, because he's trying to get us to we think we know how people should normally act in the kingdom of God. And he's trying to, I think, tell us, we don't know. We just don't. What we think we know, we don't know. We think we understand, but we don't understand. We think we see how things are, but we don't really see. And we need to kind of like be befuddled, and be taught that we don't know. Be put into a position of openness. Be broken out of our dogmatism. Or of our simple-mindedness. And when people are scared, and when people are nervous, or when people are down, or whatever, they want something simple to hang on to. Oh, this is happening to me because it's that person's fault. This is happening to Islam because the West did this to us. It's all very simple. Us against them, blah, 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 and so on like that. This kind of simple thinking. And these parables are trying to get us to slow down, kind of calm down, and be open, and don't be fearful. Just open yourself up. There is God's grace available to us. We can deal with the things, but things are not quite as simple as we'd like them to be. Don't let yourself be manipulated or used by somebody. Just be. Try to get ourselves into a space of calmness and so on. And then that's my second point. And then my third point and last point is this business about forgiveness and seeking forgiveness. That's the other point in this parable today. Another way to think about forgiveness is, because I know we all have issues, all of us, I'm sure, have issues with forgiveness. There are people we are called, we know we should probably try to deal with forgiving them, and it's hard for us to do, or maybe even forgiving ourselves and so on like that. The jihadists, 9/11, forgiving whoever it is that has brought such hardship upon them and so on. Forgiveness issues. Another way to think about forgiveness is to, it's letting go. Forgiveness has to do in part with letting go, learning to let go. Now, letting go is very hard. And we oftentimes, we can't do it on our own necessarily. There has to be a kind of a trust that it's possible. We call that in our Christian theology, grace, the gift of the Spirit. Available to us. Let me just end then with a story about letting go. This comes from Buddhism. There are these two Buddhist monks, and you know how Buddhist monks are, you know, they take strict vows of celibacy. You know, so if you're a male monk, you never go around females or touch them or anything like that, and vice versa if you're a female monk and so on. And these two male monks, they're walking, and they come to a ford, a little stream. And there's this young lady there standing at the stream. And there's an older monk and the younger monk. And the older monk says, "Young lady, what are you doing here?" She says, "I am afraid to go across. I'm afraid I will drown." And so the younger monk says, "Well, jump on my back, and then I will carry you over." The older monk was a little bit questionable about it. We had questions about that, but anyway, so the younger, they go across, and the young monk carries the lady across the stream, puts her down, and then they continue on. So she's back there at the ford on the other side, and the two monks carry on, and that older monk, he gets grumpier and grumpier and grumpier, and he keeps saying things to the younger monk, you know, about, "Do you realize you broke your vows? You weren't supposed to touch that woman," and blah, 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 and so on like that. And finally, the younger monk turned around and he looks at the older monk and he says to the older monk, he says, "Reverend Father, I put that young lady down way back there. Why are you still carrying her?" Amen.